coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in South Alabama. And so glad to have you with us on a little bit of a foggy Saturday morning right here along the Gulf Coast. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach, how you doing, my man?
Man, it's good to see the outside.
You've been locked up all week.
Man. It's great to be out. Great to see you two guys. We got a beauty in the house along with all three beasts, I'm telling you.
There's no doubt. This is like a movie, some type of movie. We got the good, the bad, the ugly, and then we have the beauty in the house. Mark, I'll let you decide on where you fit in that. Okay, but good to see you.
I'm the ugly, no doubt.
The beauty is
right there.
The boss, the beauty, whatever you want to call it. Michelle's here in the studio with us today, and she's eyeballing me, telling me to be quiet. But, man, it's good to be back in here today. You know, it's kind of like you watch the weather around here, down here on the Gulf Coast, and old man winter just doesn't want to quiet, give it up. It keeps fighting to pull it back in a little bit, and now it's going to warm up a little bit today. But I heard yesterday they were – running people out, trying to get people to leave the Grand Canyon because there's a blizzard coming out there. It's big time. They're expecting 12 feet of snow in some areas.
Really?
Out west, yeah. That's what I read last night. I was watching something on the news last night. But, yep, but it's going to be a beautiful day here, and I'm glad to be with you guys this morning and glad to have all of our listeners listening in. We've got a great show for you today.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. Y'all have stacked it up today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour. Now, of course, you've got the AHSAA State Basketball Championships going on, and we're going to talk about those. And we're going to talk a little golf today. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour with Brent Daugherty, the UMS Wright golf coach. Rick?
Yeah, Brent and Mark, you know more about this than I do. You guys at Bayside played in the David Miller Invitational over at the big place.
Lakewood.
And at Lakewood. And, boy, I had a tremendous, tremendous tournament. I think, was it Vestavia that kind of ran away with it?
Vestavia Hills.
They're pretty doggone solid from what I understand.
They are.
That's always a great thing to honor David Miller, one of our really, really outstanding young golfers that went to UMS and played there and then went on to the University of Georgia and played. And just a wonderful, wonderful young man, and we lost him way too early.
Yes, we did. And he was just, you know, a great young man, great family. And I just give kudos to UMS for carrying on that tradition of the Memorial Tournament and what he meant to so many people. And it's, you know, David just left us too early, but his memory lives on. I get to see his kids at school every day at Bayside, and they're just wonderful kids.
That's awesome.
It was a great, great tournament. Brent did a great job. Looking forward to talking to him about it.
No doubt. That'll be on at 8:30, and then at 8:45, Rick, you'll have the leadership segment. That's always fun and always informative and uplifting, if you will.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some things today that we hadn't had a chance to talk a whole lot about. And, you know, we certainly appreciate GoPest and 68 Ventures for being a part of that. That's something I think that's really added to the show. And we're going to talk about some resiliency today and Mark in coaching and in teaching and, you know, we deal with resilience as football and basketball and all kind of teams and team sports. But we're going to talk a little bit about being resilient in life. And I think that's very pertinent during this time of year.
There's no doubt about it. Of course, we got baseball that's starting up. And we're going to talk with Tim Becker, the head baseball coach for the Yellow Jackets of McGill-Tulin. That will happen at 9 o'clock, brought to you by Will 2. And then at 9:30, we'll talk a little softball. Shane Alexander, the Orange Beach softball coach.
Yeah, I called Shane a couple of days ago and finally got him last night. And he said, Coach, you don't believe where I am. I said, no, you're probably in Panama City. He said, bingo. So they're playing in a big tournament there in Panama City. And, you know, guys, Orange Beach has come up with just an unbelievable athletic department. They really have. And I love what they've just done. They've just hired Wade Waldrop as their head football coach. And just I'm so excited for them there. But they're fixing to build right adjacent to their school a huge, huge complex. and Chris Shaw, the principal there, who we all know and, yep. and think the world of. They're just so excited about what's going on there. But if you go and look at their softball complex, all turf, mm-hmm. all turf. And their baseball field right beside it is all turf. So, Randy, you wouldn't be able to play second base.
I was
going to
say,
turf.
That ball comes off that turf
way
pretty
too quick.
I'm way too slow
for
that.
My slow reflexes, I'd be uglier than I am now. Ball hit me in the face.
I don't know.
I can hear my coach tell me, get down on that ball, Mark. Get down on that ball. Coach, every time I get down there, the ball hits me in the nose.
Well, you are standing in front of it. Anyway.
True. I'm standing straight up. You know?
No, I'm kidding. Oh, my goodness. No, it'll be fun to talk with Shane at 9:30. Of course, Mark, you'll have our Camp Grace segment coming up at 9:45.
Yeah, you know, it's just I love that Camp Grace segment. It's just something because for everybody, I love it because when I do it, I'm usually talking to myself. It's usually my own devotion. I get to talk to myself about things that I need to work on or things that I need to listen to more. And things that I need to do better. And today we're going to talk about asking for help. That's a big deal in our world today is asking for help. And it's really kind of funny, some things that I read about learning how people do that. Like if I've got an issue about something and in 15 minutes I hadn't figured out how to do it, I need to pick up the phone, call somebody and say, hey, help me with this. But too many times in our lives, especially men, don't want to ask for help. And it is not a show of weakness to ask for help. In actuality, to me, it's a show of strength.
You know what's funny about that? That kind of goes into like driving. Think about it. If you're out driving away from a place you know, the guy, I know where I'm going. And you drive around in the circle for hours, and then you finally say, okay.
I probably need some help.
that's really funny now because, you know, us guys won't ask for help.
No.
And your wife or your girlfriend or your significant other will say, why don't you just stop over there and ask somebody?
Exactly.
Years ago, I don't know where I was, but one of my favorite interdenominational ministers was a guy by the name of Ben Hayden. Ben Hayden was the minister at First Presbyterian Church in Chattanooga. And he used to come on TV all the time, and so I really got used to watching him there. He preached a sermon, and the title of the sermon was, I Need Your Help. He said, these are the four words that we as men don't have the courage to speak.
That's right.
And enough.
Not enough, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the Camp Grace. I always look forward to it anyway. But, I need your help. Ben Hayden. That's pretty awesome. Cool.
That'll be fun. That'll happen at 9:45. You'll close us out with that. Looking forward to that very much. Hey, a lot going on in prep sports right now. Rick, I'm just going to hit real quick. We're going to get into basketball coming up in the next segment. But Juan Johnson, new Baker High School coach.
Let me mention this about Juan, too. Juan's not at Baker yet. You know why? He's playing for a state championship today.
Right.
He's assistant coach of the Hewitt Trustful Girls, and good for Juan. He asked, and the Baker principal said, sure. He said, okay, if I stay with my girls' team as an assistant coach through this tournament,
sure.
And here they are playing for a state championship. Now, they got a mountain to climb. They play Hoover today, and they hadn't played Hoover this year, but Hoover is absolutely loaded to the brim. And so should be one heck of a basketball game. I think that's around maybe, let's see, what, late afternoon game.
I think it's 4 o'clock.
It is 4. It's 4 o'clock, Hoover and Hewitt, and Juan will be there. But we're excited to get him back. We'll get him on the show real soon.
And speaking of Hewitt Trustful, now, if you win 100 games, that's pretty spanky.
Yeah.
You win 200, man, that's pretty good. You get to 500,
wow.
Man, that's a feat right there.
Yes.
700?
Yeah.
Rick, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's Jeff Malden. Jeff is a baseball coach at Hewitt Trustful, and he just won his 700th game. And Jeff is quite a guy. He played baseball at UAB. He was in and he played for some really good people. He's just an outstanding, outstanding high school baseball coach. Has had more than one occasion to become a college head coach, and he stayed there in high school. And there's a lot of credit that he deserves for doing that, because we lose way too many really outstanding coaches to the college level. Jeff has stayed home.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Congratulations to Coach Jeff Malden there at Hewitt Trustful. 700th win in baseball. All right, hey, let's take our first time out. When we come back, we're going to get into some AHSAA state championship basketball. We'll talk all about that coming up next right here on the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. I seen your picture.
You're naming lights above.
I got to tell y'all about a show that we saw the other night after watching the basketball game. Just knock you off your feet, boys. I'm just telling you.
Do you want to do that now?
No, we're on the air. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was wondering.
You got to keep those mics quiet, man.
Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleland, Coach Mark Laster, and you. Glad to have you on board with us this morning. A little foggy outside, so if you're out driving, be sure and watch out for the other guy for sure. Make sure you got those lights on. Hey, Mark, you have got a golf tournament coming up. We'll talk about that real quick before we get into some high school basketball, but you've got a Dumbwaiter Invitational presented by Bayside Academy. Tell us about it.
Yes, it's the title sponsor of this tournament. It's Dumbwaiter Restaurant out on Mobile, and Wes Lambert is the owner, and they've got a great restaurant. I've eaten in there a couple of times, and it is really good food. But they sponsor in this tournament at Steelwood. Bayside is the host team, and we're looking forward to hosting 20 different guys' teams and 8 different girls' teams. The girls will be playing at Rock Creek. The guys are playing at Steelwood. And we're really looking forward to playing out there. We've got Vestavia Hills, Mountain Brook, North Ridge, Auburn, UMS Wright, Fairhope. You know, all the big dogs who play. Houston Academy's coming down to play. So there's a lot of teams coming in. Enterprise is playing. It's a lot of the best teams in the state will be coming to play in that tournament. We're going to play a really fun round called the Stableford on Monday with the kids, and then Tuesday will be stroke play. Monday we're going to have Sunday we'll have a shotgun start for the practice round and a big dinner for all the kids and a speaker.
Oh, nice.
At the end of that Sunday evening. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to having all these great teams and great players coming into the tournament.
Now when is that?
That is March the 10th is on a Sunday for the practice round.
Right.
And then the tournament starts on Monday the 11th. We'll play the 11th and the 12th.
Okay, good. Now, if someone wants to go out and just walk with them and watch, that's not a problem, is it?
It's not a bit. Just come out, you know, stay on the cart path or away from where everybody is. But come out there and watch and watch some of these
really
kids.
Good golf.
Boy, I'm telling you, Vestavia Hills won the David Miller Memorial. They're really good. UMS is very good. You've got Mountain Brook is very good. There's a bunch of them. Hoover's got a really good team coming down. Their coach right now is actually coaching in the state championship this afternoon. He's the head basketball coach at Hoover, and he'll be coaching in the state championship game in basketball this afternoon. But that tournament, March the 11th and 12th at Steelwood. Y'all come out and watch. It'll be a lot of fun.
And let me just mention real quick, on March the 10th, it'll be the second full field event for the Southern Fairways Golf Tour. That happens at Kraft Farm. Cypress Bend is where we'll be playing. Rick, I know you're going to get some practice in there at some point.
It's going to be a long time before I get some practice in, the way this old boy's been feeling. But, I need some practice. I do want to mention a couple of things. First of all, Pete Story sent his regards.
Pete.
Going to see his grandson play in his first travel ball tournament today.
Nice.
So, Pete thinks the world of you, Mark, and I know he's one of our best white hats.
Yeah, he does a great job as a referee.
He really is. He's a great high school official, and he's given his adult life to being to officiate in high school football, and just a tremendous man from a tremendous family there in Childersburg, and thank the world of Pete. I want to have a shout out kind of to, and I don't like shout outs, but Josh Pedoras. You guys were on, let me see what y'all were on. Y'all were on sabbatical. That's what we called it. You were on sabbatical 1 week, and we had Josh Pedoras in the studio with us. Josh has got a podcast out of Sylacauga. He works for Lee Pearman and Michael down there, and Michael Brannon. And he's congratulations to him. He and his beautiful bride, Lauren, had a beautiful baby girl, Kennedy Denise Pederis, and she joins her brother, Carter. And so congratulations. And, boy, this guy, Josh Pederis, he knows everybody in baseball that he needs to know to have a really good podcast. So we're excited for Josh and for Lauren, and congratulations on that. So, you know, I get tickled at these young dads. You better get to sleep before she gets here, because when she gets here, you're not going to get much.
Get much.
Clay and Brooke, of course, Hadley was kept them up for a while, but I think Hadley's kind of sleeping all night now. So I'm just telling you, and it's those were wonderful, wonderful days. Don't want to go back. Don't want those all nighters or something
special.
They're rough. You know, Randy, I'm telling you.
I know.
And you know, the kids today don't realize it. We didn't have all these pre-manufactured diapers. We had cloth diapers. Now, I don't know if you've ever been involved with cloth diapers, but you better have your big dirty clothes being over there. And it was like, I'd come home from football practice. They're in the bathroom. They're waiting on you.
Great.
And I'm just telling you.
These new
diapers, first thing Clay said when Hadley was born, he said, 1,000 diapers would be great. You know how much those things cost? Mm. Good gracious. Get ready. Get ready, Grandma and Grandpa to be. Just get ready. It's coming one day, and you'll understand. I say buy them 1,000 cotton diapers or cloth diapers. Let them do a little bit of washing.
They may take those back.
Yeah, they may do it. You know, we've crowned some state champions, and the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center Legacy Arena, if you hadn't had the opportunity to go there and see that, it is something special. And I hope everybody gets to see it in the near future, because it's a great place for basketball. And go see UAB play there just about any time. And a lot of other college teams come in there to play. In 1A, Spring Garden is the girls' state champion, Ricky Austin. It's about 7 or 8 for Ricky Austin. Of course, it doesn't hurt. He's got the best female player in the state of Alabama on his team. Happens to be his daughter. Her name is Ace.
What a name.
And she's something special. She will be going to the University of Alabama. You two guys, you want to watch her play. She is really something special. The boys' 1A state champion is Georgiana. Kirk Norris is the head coach there. And let me tell you, who was it? I think Doug Barber got on me one day about having a scowl on my face. I wish you could see Kirk. He's winning the game. There's about 10 seconds left in the game, and he's still coaching. And he's up by about 7 or 8. And I'm just telling you, and finally, when it was over, I think he just laid down.
I mean, but such a relief.
Yeah, congratulations to Kirk and Georgiana winning the boys' 1A state championship. The 2A state champion is Eider. Jamie Pruitt's the head coach there. Congratulations to them. And the boys' state champion is Mars Hill. Jeremy Pounder's the head coach there. 3A, a repeat state champion in girls, Trinity Presbyterian. Blake Smith, the head coach there. In 3A, boys, Terrence Pinckney is the head coach at Hillcrest Evergreen. Used to be the head coach at Daphne. He was the head coach when Glenn Vickery was a football coach, I think. But congratulations to Coach Pinckney and Hillcrest Evergreen. And, Mark, you've seen the athletes that they've got at Hillcrest Evergreen.
Mm.
And they have won it in 3A, and I think they won it in 4A one year. And you guys played them in football, and I can remember you talking about as talented as any football
team
you've ever been around. So, lots of talent up that way. In 4A, the Good Hope girls, who are the best girls team I've seen all year. Good Hope, Justin Abbey is their coach. Tremendous, tremendous basketball team. And the boys from Jackson, Anthony Hayes wins Jackson's, I guess they're maybe their second state championship,
I think,
in basketball.
Right, yeah.
So congratulations to all the state champions.
And we'll get you set up on who's playing today and in what time. We'll have that for you coming up. All right, we'll take another timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk a little golf. And we'll do that with the
UMS Wright golf coach Brent Daugherty. He's up next right here on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face to stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air already, yes sir, we want the ball, and it's knocking heads and talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass, it's I got your number, I got your back, when your back's against the wall, you mess with one man. The boys are falling.
Well, there you go again. Mark, chill bumps right there.
Yep, every time, every time.
Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Glad to have you here with us. I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. And time to go to our Pops Midtown Communication Lines and welcome in the golf coach for the UMS Wright Bulldogs, Brent Daugherty. Brent, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Brent, we're glad to have you, buddy, and I want to tell you, first of all, what a great job you did with that tournament down at Lakewood, and all the folks down there put a great tournament together. Tell us a little bit so people understand a little bit about, we'll talk about some of the teams here in a moment, but a little bit about that tournament and its purpose, about David Miller and what that tournament's all about.
Well, you know, this tournament was started shortly after David's passing, just a way of remembering him. You know, he's one of those guys that is a coach's dream, and that he was not only just so good on the golf course, but was such a great teammate, great person, great leader. That carried on through his career at UMass Wright. He played for Eddie Holmes, won some state championships, went on to the University of Georgia, had a great career there, won a national championship, and spent some time on what is now the Corn Ferry Tour. So had a great, great career, but just left us too soon and, you know, passed away. And so, we like to, UMass Wright and as well as other places, we like to remember and honor those who made such a big impact. And so he is one that we like to continue to show as an example to younger golfers, like, hey, this is what you should aspire to be, not only just a phenomenal golfer, but you should aspire to be a great teammate, a great leader, a person of high character. So it's just a way of kind of promoting all that and remembering his legacy.
You know, Brent, when you have this tournament, and one of the things I think that stands out about it is you bring in some of the best, but not basketball. Heck, I'm still thinking basketball. Bring in some of the best golf teams throughout the state of Alabama. You certainly had a championship field this year. Talk a little bit about the field.
We try to invite the best. We want it to be a premier tournament. We tend to invite the state champions. We had Beth Davey, who won the 7A state championship at Northridge, who was second place in the 6A, Mountain Brooks, third place in 6A, but was also won 6A the last 6 years before that. You know, Spain Park, yeah, and Auburn, who are also competitors at 7A. So we just try to invite invite a lot of local teams as well. We try to provide some opportunities so there's less travel. So, Fairhope's got a great team. Spanish Fort's really been strong the last few years. McGill, St. Paul's, Bayside, Gulf Shores, so we try to get all the top teams, through the area just to make it a great start to the season. It's typically one of the first large tournaments of the season. Which I'm kind of glad, because then I get that out of the way of hosting a tournament, and now I can just focus on coaching. But it's just kind of a good start, kind of give you a finger of the pulse of, okay, where are we? Where do we need to go? What do we need to work on? I thought it was a good tournament. We had some rough weather on Monday. It was cold and windy, so it just – the ball is not going to fly. And, you know, we didn't play it really long. We played it about 6,700, which is typically about the distance of a state tournament. So that's what we try to model after the state tournament. But it was just so windy and cold, and you can get in some penalty areas in a hurry. So we had some high scores on Monday all across the board. But then Tuesday, the wind kind of died down and warmed up a touch. And so we were able to see some better scores played on Tuesday. And so we just, it was all around a good tournament.
We're talking with Brent Daugherty, the head golf coach at UMS Wright, and discussing the David Miller Memorial Tournament. Coach, there's one young man from Spain Park, Chase Keys. He had quite a round.
Yeah, he's special. He went 6 under 6 under. So that's, you know, not too many people, you know, go out and shoot a 66, but there's fewer people that are going to go out and shoot 66 both days. Yeah, you know, I remember watching, he was on par five, I think it was number six, and he's on the green in two, and he's on the fringe, and there's a little bit of a ledge in the middle of the green, and, you know, any sane person is just going to putt that and let it go over. No, he takes a 6 degree, he opens it, takes a very aggressive swing, and that one hop stops 6 inches from the cup. I mean, it's just, you know, he's got a gift, and, you know, and, you know, we're gonna see a lot more of him throughout the year, and I think he's just a sophomore now. Sophomore,
wow,
junior.
I think that's right.
You
wow.
know, he's still committed to Alabama, so, you know, we're gonna be able to watch him play for a while.
You know, that Rick, you got that shot. I've seen you with that shot right there.
Yeah.
All right. Be careful when you go out on the golf course with Coach Cleveland.
That was a long time ago. Brent Daugherty's played with me. He knows better than that. Brent, talk a little bit about your team. You got a young team, a really exciting group of young guys.
Yeah, we've got a really solid team. We graduated one guy last year, Braxton Bonner. Played a solid role for us, but, you know, just didn't quite make the lineup all the time, and that's because we've got a healthy problem, and we've got about 10, 11 guys who could all make the lineup in any given day, and so they compete each week. We're led by senior Ken Brown right now. He had a solid performance at David Miller, shot 74, 73 for us, and then we have Thomas Crane, who's a junior. He's getting some offers and some looks, and he's playing well. You know, and then we also have, we got a big mix of them. You know, got senior John Stubbs, and, Drew DeLong, Carton Church. Jack Church is coming off the basketball season. He just made the lineup for the Patriot Open this week, so we'll get to see what he does. We have sophomore, Powell Zundel, who made the made the state team last year, shot a 71 on that first day. He made the lineup this week, so good to see him kind of getting back in there and getting back in form. And then we've got a freshman, Whit Casey. He played the number five at the tournament and met his goals. And my goal for number five guys is safe, break 80. Just break 80 and be a safe score for us. He really did well with that. And then I've got an eighth grader, Henry Brown, who's Ken's little brother. But, you know, he's something special. He's gonna be one to watch as he gets older. Made the tournament team last year as a seventh grader, won a state championship. And so we're looking forward to Tennessee with all he does. So we've got a solid crew. It's just going to be a matter of each week, you know, who makes the lineup, who's playing the best golf that week. They're going to be the ones that go play in that tournament.
We're visiting with UMS Wright golf coach Brent Daugherty. We got about 2 minutes left here. Brent, I got a question for you. Back in high school, which has been many years ago for this little group right here, golf was a little different, all right? You went and played on the golf team because you couldn't play football or couldn't play baseball, all right? It has changed now. Their golf in high school now is far superior than where it was, Rick, whenever we were in high school.
Yeah.
If someone has a junior that's got a little bit of talent, what do they need to do in order to get on that high school golf team?
You know, my first recommendation would be, you know, it depends on their age, but if they're pretty young, get them involved in something like an Operation 36, where it teaches them how to play the game from the green backwards. You know, we actually started a middle school division that's similar, where the kids aren't quite ready, but they want to get into the game of golf, and so we play them from 150 on every hole. So Operation 36, they do, they start you at like 25 yards. Every hole is a par four. Once you start, you know, consistently parring and, you know, shooting the 36 for a round, then they move you back to 50 yards. And then, you know, after that, they move to 75 yards. So it teaches you to play where the most important part of the game is, and it's around the green and on the green. You know, go spend time just putting and chipping. You don't always have to go out and you know, play nine holes every day of the week. I think a lot of time can be overlooked, or, you know, a lot of skills can be overlooked around the green, and that's where people are going to either gain scores or lose scores. But getting clubs in their hands early, letting them play, letting and have fun with it, play games. Even my high school guys, when I can, you know, we play games. Just this week we played best ball, worst ball, so we played a scramble, and I made them on the odd holes. They have to play from the worst location. On the even holes, they play from the best location. Just to have fun, you know, making those better guys to play out of the woods. You know, and then Thursday we played a similar game, but with takeaway. So if you win the hole, you can take away a club from your playing partner. So now all of a sudden they don't have a driver, or they don't have a 63. So make it fun so they don't lose interest, and get them involved early around the green.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, Brent, what you ought to do, this would be a great thing for y'all to do in the summer. You and Doug and Wes and Jeb, three or four of you play best ball, worst ball.
And, oh, Lord.
I got a feeling you know whose ball. I know whose ball you'd be hitting the most if you're playing worst ball with
it. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us. Good luck this year. And, of course, we'll be talking with you again real soon.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brent.
Thanks, Brent. Good luck this week.
All right, Brent Daugherty right there, the UMS Wright golf coach. Rick, that's kind of what we do, and it's not intentional. When we play our worst shot, it's always our worst shot. Oh, my goodness. All right, hey, we'll take another timeout. When we come back, Coach Cleland has got the leadership segment.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
We welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Rick, did I just commit a felony there? Cutting in on Boz?
I don't know. That hits Martin and I pretty close to the heart. I can tell you that.
You take a club out of your bag.
Yeah, you take
there
a club out of your bag.
Putter will be missing next
that,
time.
Well,
play.
Please take that one. It's not working, so you can certainly do that. Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Coach, we've got some great sponsors. There is no doubt about it.
Yeah, one of the guys, one of the groups, men and women that we really appreciate around here is Premier Collision over at 1177 Sledge Drive. You talk about what their customers have to say about them. Fantastic service, high quality work, looks fresh off the showroom. Mark can tell you a little bit about that as well. And highly recommend, they always take great care of me, my family, and the people I send to them. Excellent customer service and quality of the work was great. That's it's just some of the comments you get about our friends at Premier Collision. Chris Garris and Tyler and all the guys over at 1177 Sledge Drive. If you have a fender bender or you have a major automobile accident, give those guys a call at 251-478-4500. You will be glad that you did. I can promise you that. They treat you just like family. And when you get your car back, Mark, it looks just like new, doesn't it, buddy?
Like it came off the showroom floor.
Man, I'm telling you right now. And even surprised your dad when he saw the...
Did.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's something.
Thought we got a new car.
We should.
And it's a 1990 Sonata? What is it?
2009.
Okay.
That's something special.
Or 2010.
They're good people. That's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive. Give them a call, 251-478-4500. I want to talk this week a little bit about resiliency. And when, you know, when athletic teams have a rough week and you sit down and you look at the film on a Saturday or on a Wednesday after a basketball game, and you know, you just say, boy, we just seem to be kind of spinning our wheels. And, you know, how do we bounce back? And that's one of the things that in life we have the same problems many, many times. Is, you know, we have something that doesn't go exactly the way we wanted it to go, and I'll be darned if it we just got to find a way to get back in the flow of things. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today is resiliency. Four things that resilient teams do, and I don't want to go through all four of them, but certainly want to share a couple of the things that the guys at 68 Ventures have shared with us this week, and appreciate everything that Brad Israel and Nathan and all those guys do for us here at PSR. When you look at resiliency, teams that are resilient are always able to improvise, and teams have got to be able to improvise and develop new ideas or ways of handling adversity. And one of the things in team sports is, how do young guys and young ladies, how do they handle adversity? I love listening to Mike Knapp when he talks to his basketball team. He talks about, there's going to be stretches during this game where you're going to go through adversity. And the outcome is going to be determined on how well you handle that adversity. Well, that's the same thing in life. It's the same thing in everything that we do. You got to be able to improvise, and you got to be able to adjust, and you got to be able to change circumstances in real time. And to do so effectively, teams need to be able to access existing knowledge from past experiences and create and reconfigure in a way to develop new habits and to get better at what you're good at and to decrease your errors. And when you're able to do that, teams that are able to do that are resilient. And so resilient teams are intimately familiar with one another's knowledge of the games. They're familiar with the skills of their teammates and the abilities that they can draw upon at the right time to make things better. I wanted to share that, Mark and Randy, because so often in life, we face adversity and we don't know which direction to go. We don't know who to call. You made a good point, Mark, earlier when you were talking about the grace segment today and what you're going to talk about. And one of the things that we don't do enough of as men is we don't ask for help. I think in the world of teaching and coaching, we're beginning to see that we have to reach out more and to find better ways to reach students and to reach players and to teach them to go back and relate to those things that they do well. And those things that they do well help them grow. So what we've got to do is we've got to teach them to be resilient to the point that let's depend on the things that we do well, and let's utilize those, and let's stay away from those things that we don't do so well. You know, spend more time on those things and complement those things that we do well, and I think resilience will follow that. You know, we live in a world today, and I was listening to a podcast, which I don't listen to a lot of them, but got a friend out of Atlanta that has a podcast, and he's talking about in today's world, it's just so easy for people to get a divorce. You know, things are bad. I'm just going to go see an attorney. 10 days, we'll be divorced, and I can move on with my life. Instead of digging deep and working on it and going back to the things that they do good, that they did well, that they work so well together on, that they can get that foundation back to where it needs to be. We run from trouble. We run from it instead of digging into it and trying to find the root of it and to get that resilient effect of working on the things that we do best. You know, in our world today, we've got to go find a better way. We got to find a better way to reach students. We got to find a better way to to lead them down the path that is a solid path, not a sandy path. I love what they sent us today. Thank you to GoPest and the guys at 68 Ventures for sending us that. Let's build on our resiliency to all aspects of our life.
Good job. Boy, that's a good one. That's a good one. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that one a lot. All right, first hour, come and gone. When we come back, we'll talk a little baseball, and we do that with the head coach for the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets, Tim Becker. He's up next right here on the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, right here located in Daphne, Alabama. So glad to have you on board with us. I am Randy Bergen. Coach Rick Cleveland is right there. Coach Mark Laster right across from me. It is the good, the bad, the ugly, and the beauty.
And the beauty.
As your lovely bride is here with us, Mark. And she is patiently
waiting.
She has been patient with us today. There is no doubt about it. All right, guys, it is time to talk a little baseball as we go to our Pops Midtown communication line and welcome in the head baseball coach for the Yellow Jackets, McGill-Tulane, Coach Tim Becker. Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us. I know you got a game scheduled today originally at 3:30, but you've kind of moved it up to 12 o'clock due to rain. Talk about the game that you got today.
Yeah, good morning. We play Resurrection Catholic. This is part of our Catholic tournament that we do every year. We usually have anywhere from 8, 10, 12 teams in the tournament from all around the Southeast. And we play Resurrection this morning, and we had to move the games to Matthews Park because they have AstroTurf. So we were able to at least get a few games in here this morning. But, we play at 12:30 against Resurrection Catholic. They're actually going to play St. Michael at 10. Same place. They're going to play at Matthews Park. We had three or four other schools that were in the tournament, but because they were 3, 4, 5 hours away, and with we were supposed to play on Friday as well, but obviously I don't think anybody played yesterday.
Right. Where is Resurrection from? Where is that located?
They're over around the Biloxi, Pascagoula area. They're actually in Pascagoula.
Okay. We were talking about that a minute ago. I wasn't sure where they were and what classification they were or anything like that. I just didn't know. But I knew I had seen that name before. Tell us a little bit about your team, Coach, and how y'all are doing and where y'all are headed and how you feel like you guys are going to go through the area and head toward the end of the season as it gets crazy down there in April.
Yeah, we kind of started out kind of rough. We didn't really play that well earlier in the year. We've been able to play really well the last two games and won our last two games against St. Michael. And then we played against Davidson, I believe it was on Thursday, and Mark Jones, one of our better senior players, pitched a great game, had 14 strikeouts, and helped him a little bit, helped himself offensively as well. But again, we have six seniors on our team. Mark Jones, Lane Lawson, Edward Vulovich, Daryl Murillo, Jalen Henson, and Cole Patrick. They're a great, great senior group. I will say this. We went up to Jackson, Mississippi last weekend and played some really, really good teams. We played Brandon, Germantown, and Clinton. And all three of those teams, two of the three are ranked in their classifications in Mississippi. And we actually battled those teams, but couldn't come out on the winning side. But again, I think we learned a lot. We saw great pitching, which I think will prepare us down the road when we get to our area play.
We're talking to Tim Becker, the head baseball coach at McGill-Tulane. Of course, Tim is brought to us by Will Two and the good folks there. And Tim, when you look at your baseball team, talk just a little bit about, I love to talk to coaches about the middle and talk about the how important the middle of the baseball field is for you defensively, because you're the product of one of those positions. I saw this guy play in Upper New York State 100 years ago when he was in pro ball, and didn't realize who he was then. But he was playing against a guy by the name of John Cangelosi, who later played with the Pittsburgh Pirates in a double-A or triple-A all-star game. But talk about the importance of the middle. We talk about it in football. We talk about the core of our defense. Talk about the middle of the baseball defense for us.
Well, I'll tell you, we say it to our teams all the time. You know, I've been blessed and fortunate to be a part of some great schools at UMS Wright and St. Luke's, and you know, we were able to win state championships there. And you have to be strong up the middle. Center field, shortstop, second base. Of course, your catcher has to be solid. And I know we won the state championship in 2019 at McGill Toulon, first ever that McGill had ever won. We had an outstanding catcher in Nathan LaRue, who just finished up at Auburn. And of course, your pitching staff's got to be solid. We had Chandler Best, and of course, he's at Southern Miss now, doing well. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, we have a combination that we're trying to figure out in the middle to get our middle strong. And you know, the years we won the state title at those schools and at McGill Toulon, we were strong up the middle, and that included the pitching staff. So, you know, we're kind of still, with it being early, I think, you know, a lot of teams will say this. The weather has not been real productive since we started practice, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. I mean, it's really been difficult to consistently get on the field and get great practices. Even last week, we only got on the field one day. And, you know, it's not showing real good this week either. But, but again, we have shortstop Ethan Hilpert, junior. Really, he's solid defensively, good left-handed hitter. We've had Joseph Huff and some other young men playing some at second base. Dubs Wilson for us behind the plate has done an outstanding job. And then in center field, you know, we've had some players there too. You know, but Mitchell Adams has done a great job. And all these kids I'm mentioning, they're all in the class. They're all either sophomores or juniors. So, yeah. You know, it looks bright for the future. And then, like I said, Mark Jones – and Cole Patrick and some other guys that we have on the mound have done a great job for us. You know, and down the road, that's what we're going to be able to win games.
You know, Tim, one of the guys that was really outstanding for you as a young man by the name of Bubba Thompson. Can you bring us up to date on Bubba now? Because I've tried to keep up, and it, you know, when they start trading and start moving them and swapping them for, you know, really good players. And Bubba is one of those really outstanding players. Kind of bring us up to date on Bubba Thompson.
You know, Bubba is with the Cincinnati Reds right now. And, you know, he's been, you know, he's on the 40-man roster. So, and he has to stay on the 40-man roster or has to stay on the major league team. And he's actually in spring training now with Cincinnati. And actually, he's doing pretty good. He's hitting in the mid-300s. But Cincinnati Reds, they're just loaded with outfield talent. So his biggest thing is, will he be their fourth outfielder? And like I said, he's been productive so far, and you know, hopefully they'll notice that. But again, if he's not on the big league roster or big league team when they break spring training and go off, I'm sure he'll either be in AAA or, you know, be bouncing back and forth between the major league team and their AAA team.
We're talking with McGill Toulon head baseball coach Tim Becker. Coach, we got about a minute and a half left here. Talk a little bit about your assistant coaches there at McGill Toulon.
Yeah, we do. We have a great group. Ryan Lott does a great job with our pitchers. He is so good with our pitchers. And our staff has done pretty well so far. We also have Ryan Hall, who teaches at McGill Toulon, and Blake Roberts is a young player that just graduated recently at University of Mobile. Does an outstanding job with our catchers. And, you know, so we're excited about our staff. The thing about McGill Toulon is a lot of times we lose coaches because they go off somewhere and become head coaches, which right. I can't be any more proud about. You know, we had Tommy Walker just a couple years ago, and now he's at Spanish Fort. Of course, he's not a young buck. He's old like me, you know. But, we had him a couple years ago. Troy Brown's the head coach at Plumington now. We had him a year or two ago. I mean, And, you know, even Matt Seymour, when I was at UMS Wright, he's at Faith Academy. And I can't be any more proud to see those guys and coach. But we don't like to coach against each other. But it is what it is.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, look, good luck today. Good luck for the rest of the season. We'll stay in touch with you and get you back on the show. And let's see how it all works out. Y'all have a great time today. And we thank you for taking time to be with us.
Appreciate you letting me say some things about the Jackets. Go Jackets.
There you
go. Take care, Coach.
Coach McGill-Tulin baseball coach Tim Becker. Of course, that was brought to you by Will2. And, you know, baseball is one of those kind of things, Rick, you know it. And Mark, you do too. It can go up and down. It can go up and down.
In a hurry.
In a hurry. One game, if you're playing a doubleheader, you can lights out. And the next game is like, what happened, guys? Or vice versa.
It's just like, you know, when you're – in baseball, if you get in a hitting slump, man, it is hard to work through. You have to work through it.
You
know, there's no way around
it. That's
funny that you say that. You ever heard Ed Latham talk about his year at Mississippi State? He said he was 0 for February and March.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, we've got more prep sports to talk about in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. You've got to tune in to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. We're back right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Tell you what, we are moving through the show fast today. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's going by extremely fast. Going to get into some basketball, championship basketball going on up in Birmingham in just a moment. But I do want to remind you, coming up after this show, Southern Fairway Sports Radio, myself, Doug Holton, World Eagle TV's Doug Holton will be here. Matt Brandt, The Voice, of course, he's one of the proprietors of Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. He'll be in the house, and you're going to love this. Mark, I know you will. Rick, maybe not so much for you. But we're going to have Captain Doug Maines on. We're going to talk some inshore and offshore fishing. And then at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Mitch McConnell, talk some football, talk a little golf, and talk some automobiles with him. So all that coming up beginning at 10 o'clock. Be sure and hang tight for that. We are going to have a blast for sure. But, Rick, we got some championship games going on today. I know that you mentioned the winners, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A a little bit earlier. But coming up, starting I think they've already started the 5A girls. Didn't they start at 9 o'clock this morning?
They did start at 9 this morning. That would be Jasper and Scottsboro, and Jasper is loaded to the brim. I'm just telling you, they are loaded. And Scottsboro and those two coaches are best buddies. Matter of fact, they're going on a cruise together sometimes in this summer, and now they're playing for a state championship in 5A girls basketball.
Should be good. Go ahead and go through that list of the games today.
All right, so that tipped off at 9 o'clock. At 10:45, Vigor will play Fairfield, and, boy, that is that's going to be some kind of basketball game. And you can see these games on the Alabama Public Television Network. So you go to your APT, and you can watch that, and that's going to be something special, Vigor and Fairfield. Listen, you don't have time to go get a cup of coffee or a glass of tea while you're watching that game, because it's going to be fast. I'm talking about up and down the floor, pressing on both ends of the court. Really good basketball.
Watched that game last night. That was Trinity and American Christian, wasn't it?
Are you talking about boys or girls?
Boys.
Boys was the game that you watched last night. I'm sure it had to be the 4A game between Jackson and
that's right, it was Jackson. I'm sorry, it was Jackson.
Jackson played American Christian.
That's Jackson.
That's right. And American Christian played mighty well. You know, there's a story there. American Christian lost their coach early in the year. I say they lost him. He was diagnosed with leukemia, and their coach, they have an interim coach who came in and has done a fabulous job. Austin Grammer has taken the job on an interim basis until – the permanent coach who is on our prayer list and will continue to be, but has done a fabulous job with them. But Jackson's just too doggone good. I'm talking about really, really good. They got a young player that plays for Jackson named Michael Castor.
Mm-hmm.
And 30 years ago, yesterday, his mom played in the state basketball tournament for McIntosh.
Wow.
30 years to the day, he wins a state championship. They had his mom on last night, and, boy, something special.
How often does that happen?
That just doesn't. I mean, isn't that right? That's just something. And, boy, he was outstanding. I mean, he shoots threes like Mark yeah. and I shoot layups. I mean, I can tell you that right now.
Wait. Mark, you had seen a layup.
I can shoot a layup.
Okay. Mark can shoot a layup.
Okay.
He doesn't
might
have
take
to
me
touch
a while to get there, but once I get there, I can put it in the basket.
Absolutely. But this guy can absolutely shoot it. And just an outstanding game. And the Duckworth kid, that's the football player that's yeah. committed to South Carolina, last play of the game, he almost tears the backboard down, slam dunking it. I'm talking about he got a breakaway slam dunk, and I'm talking, and he is a good-looking young man.
Wasn't he the quarterback for Jackson?
He yeah. was a quarterback for Jackson. Yeah. He's committed. I think he's already – was he a senior?
No, he was a sophomore.
Sophomore, yeah, yeah. But he's already committed verbally to Shane Beamer at South Carolina. Congratulations to Anthony Hayes and Jackson on winning the 4A state championship. I think it's their second. You know, one of our – favorite people is a graduate of Jackson High School. That's Sheila Lee. She's mm-hmm. a graduate there. So, no, she's excited about that. So, at 12:30 today, the Huffman girls will play Hazel Green girls. Hazel Green has won like 6 or 7 state championships in a row. And Coach Miller up there, you know, they don't have the same thing that we do in the private schools. There's no competitive balance for those right. guys. So, they'll be in 6A forever. And so, Huffman is plays that'll be some kind of game. And then the boys game at 2:15, Mountain Brook versus Buckhorn. That's gonna be some. I mean, every game today is outstanding.
Yeah, and you're in 6A right now.
Right,
so,
6A
yeah.
right now. Yeah. So then we go to 7A, and it's kind of the Hoover TV show this afternoon. The Hoover girls will play Hewitt Trustville at 4:00. And then the Hoover boys, Scott Ware. I didn't know Scott was the head golf coach.
Head golf coach, yeah.
Well, such an outstanding basketball coach and just a wonderful man. Scott Ware's Hoover Bucks will play Enterprise. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're talking about a town that's going crazy for sports now. Enterprise, we always knew it as such a big, big football town when, of course, Bill Bacon was there and just such a wonderful history in football. But now Rhett Harrelson is who played his dad played quarterback at Enterprise when we were at Northview. Now his son is now the coach there at Enterprise. And boy, you're talking about a good looking bunch of players. They've got a young man who's one of their best football players, a guy named Eric Winters, probably their best basketball player. So you talking about, we talk about kids playing multiple sports. Don't think it hurts Eric Winters to play football and basketball. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he probably runs track and something else. But they'll play today at 5:45. That's going to be a great game. But I'm going to tell you, if you hadn't seen Hoover play, don't have to look too hard to see a big 6'9" guy right in the middle of Dwayne Brown. He's only a junior. And let me tell you something. If there's a baby Shaq,
He's him.
Wow. I can tell you right now, boy, you talking about a basketball player. You come in the middle, you better have some pads on because he's going to rough you up. You just don't come in there. I mean, he kind of spreads out. When he stands in the middle and he spreads his arms, he goes from one sideline to the other. Right. I mean, he is just that big in the paint.
That makes him throwing passing lanes.
Oh, it's just
small.
It's just something special. So today's, you got really 6 really great games starting right now. They're playing now: Jasper and Scottsboro, and then Vigor and Fairfield, Huffman and Hazel Green girls, Mountain Brook and Buckhorn boys, and then the finals. The final 2 games are Hoover versus Hewitt girls at 4 and Hoover versus Enterprise boys at 5:45. That's a lot of good basketball.
It really is. Let me just go through the list real quick. Those that have already won in 1A,
yep.
The girls Spring Garden, the boys in 1A were Georgiana. In 2A, the girls of Ider and the boys of Mars Hill are champions. In 3A, Trinity gets the girls get the trophy there. In boys, it was Hillcrest Evergreen. In 4A, Good Hope girls win, and as you mentioned, in 4A, the Jackson Aggie boys get the championship.
And Good Hope, that is the first state championship in school history.
In any sport.
Any sport.
That's awesome.
And that's exciting. That's exciting. And, you know, I you don't like to see anybody go out a loser, in their final game. But you can't say that about Ronald Jackson. Ronald Jackson, 41 years as a head basketball coach. He's won 5 state championships, 4 of them at T.R. Miller and 1 at Monroe County. And Ron coached boys and girls for a long time. And
I don't know how you do that.
I'm telling you, he's a special, special gentleman. And I don't know what he enjoys doing, but I hope he gets to wet a hook and sit on the creek bank and just fish all he wants to, and or play golf or do whatever. But he has had 41 great years of making a difference in young people's lives. And it was sad to see him walk away, but he walked away with a smile on his face. Yeah. He got to coach the very last game of his last season. Took it as far as they could take it, and those kids played their hearts out.
Good stuff. Good stuff for sure. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk a little softball, and we'll do that with Shane Alexander, the head coach for the girls of Orange Beach. He's up next right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Babies in the running round, hanging with the crowd, putting your business in the street, talking out loud, saying about it. How much you done spend? I swear she must believe.
Oh my goodness. That's just some good stuff. I gotta tell you, Boss Gags on a Saturday morning. Are you kidding me? It doesn't matter where you are. You can be along the Gulf Coast. You can be in North Alabama, Central Alabama, or you can be in Panama City. Boss Gags is good anywhere. Okay.
It's like honey for your biscuits.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Time to go to our Pops Midtown Communication Line and talk a little softball, and we do that with Orange Beach Mako's head coach, Shane Alexander. Coach, and I know you're in Panama City. Talk a little bit about your schedule, because you got a game, I believe, coming up pretty quick, don't you?
We played 11 o'clock today. So we got rained out yesterday. But today we got a doubleheader, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock. So.
And who are you playing at 11 o'clock?
Well, we think it's Mariana, Florida. We've seen 2 different schedules, so we're not quite sure. It may be Wakulla, Florida, and it may be Mariana. We don't know yet. So we just got to the ballpark. So here in a minute, we should know.
Well, it sounds like fast pitch softball is kind of like our old slow pitch softball, when we may line up against Howard's Furniture. Or we may be playing against Bud Light and all the XL people. So it sounds like when rain comes, you just have to play whoever you can play, Shane. And we're mighty excited to have you on. Well, and talk just a little bit about this Mako's softball team. You've got, man, I'm telling you, you got a lot of tradition you got to follow to keep up with what's been done in the past, pal.
Yeah, I mean, we basically have the same team back. We graduated 1 senior, a left fielder. These girls have been through it for the last 3 years. So they're, I'm not to say they're on cruise control, but they don't get too high, too low. They're just here to play. And I say it every year. We just pull up in the bus and drop them off and tell them good luck. So.
We're busy with Shane Alexander, the softball coach for the Mako's of Orange Beach. Talk a little bit about your team right now.
Well, we've played 2 games. We started off, we had Fairhope game 1. Played really well, hit the ball really, really well. I think we won 15-0, and then we had Spanish Fourth and at their place. And, played well for about 6.5. We were up 10-0, and we had some, early in the season, we had some mental miscues in that last inning, but, we pulled it out 10-3. But I like where we're at. We've got
We've got Justine Henderson back. She was hurt last year. She's one of our pitchers. So I think that, I think what's different this year is I think we have four solid pitchers. We have a staff, as we say, but you know, I feel confident in any of the four we put out. We've got an eighth grader we've added who's going to be really, really good. So, yeah, I'm excited with the pitching. Our defense is strong, but what I like early on is we hit the ball. Now, we may come out at 11 o'clock today and not be able to do anything, but first two games of the year, we really hit the ball well. So I'm excited about that.
Well, Coach, tell us a little bit about how – I'm not sure. I haven't looked at anything on your schedule, but tell us a little bit about, is it y'all play an area or do you play region, and who is in that that for you to get to playoffs?
So we play an area. We have St. Michael's, UMS Wright, and Mobile Christian. And out of those four, the top two after the area tournament move on to the regionals, which is an 18 double elimination tournament, and then from the regionals you go to the state and do it again with the North team. So, matter of fact, I think we have UMS on Tuesday and Mobile Christian on Thursday, which I've already looked and it's supposed to rain. But we open up area play next week. So,
you know, we're talking to Shane Alexander, the head softball coach of the Orange Beach Makos. And, Coach, if people hadn't seen your facility, you know, you go down and you pull up into your park and you see a all-turf field. And then you look at the baseball field and they just got turf too. I mean, you're just all turf. That's got to be a much faster game. I was telling Randy he probably couldn't play second base in today's world because of the speed of the ball coming off of that turf. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it takes a little to get used to, but you're going to get a true hop. Whereas down here in Panama City, it's more of a sand-based infield. And, you know, yesterday it was, you know, we warmed up yesterday and then it got rained out. But it's a tricky hop. With that turf, you know you're going to get a true hop. The hardest part, though, to me is, you know, you've got to learn to slide on that turf. You know, I've seen girls slide right by the base. So you've got to learn to slide earlier because you're going to slide into it. But we love it. You know, we'll get a downpour, and then 5 minutes later, we're out there practicing. So,
wow.
But our mayor and our city council, they have, you know, they just built us a 14,000 square foot indoor hitting facility.
Wow.
They're building us a locker room that should be done here in the next month or two that connects the field. So we're truly blessed, and I remind the girls of that all the time, that, you know, anytime you see those guys and gals, please thank them, because I don't think in the state of Alabama there's nothing that's going to be like what we have down here. So I guess we, you know, if you keep winning, they'll keep spending that money. But it's really nice. So.
Well, you got a mayor in Tony Kennan who will support athletics in Orange Beach High School.
Absolutely.
In every way. I'm telling you, you are blessed
absolutely
to have,
yes,
Tony Kennan on your side. Talk about the future. Talk about hope you get to Oxford, right? And that's the ultimate goal, to get to Chocolaco State Park.
That's the plan. The thing I like about this team is, you know, we talk about it all the time. We're not defending anything. You know, we defend our culture and our standards. And we've added some young kids, and we tell them all the time, we're not going to lower our standards. It's your job to reach our standards. And work hard every day. So, you know, we're not changing what we do just because you may be a seventh grader or an eighth grader. So we challenge them every day in practice, and you know, some respond and some don't. But I like where we're at, our mindset right now. You know, whether or not we get to Oxford, who knows? But We'll play anybody anywhere. I like our chances.
Coach, tell us a little bit about your coaching staff. I know you got to have some guys that are working with you and helping you at different places. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, I'm blessed. Last year we brought in Caitlin Boyd, who was she was a four-time All-American at Arizona State, won a national championship, played on the U.S. select team. You know, she handles our infield. I turn it over to her. She's a phenomenal player development coach. And then, of course, I've got Jody Hodo, who's been with me since day one. He's the hitting guru. And then I've got, you know, Sarah Hatter and David McLean, who help with the younger kids. And, yeah, it's great. You know, when we put together a practice plan, I say, hey, you know, you got the infield, you do whatever and Coach Boyd runs with it, and then Jody handles the hitting, and it kind of makes me more of a manager type. So it's, you know, I'll coach here and there a little bit. For the most part, I let my coaches coach. I trust them enough. So yeah, it's hard. I'll be honest. I can't get out there like I could, you know, 25 years ago and hit ground balls every day and run that, you know. I may be able to do it one day, but I'm going to feel it the next day. So
I hear you.
These young coaches do it.
That's right.
Well, so, Coach, listen, we know you're getting ready for a ball game coming up in just in about an hour or so. And good luck on whichever team you play today. So
we appreciate it. We're going to line up against somebody at 11 o'clock. So.
That's there you right. go. There you go.
Well, good luck, Coach.
Good luck to you, and we're going to have you back on real soon, okay?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thanks, Shane.
All right, there you go. Shane Alexander, the Orange Beach Mako's softball coach.
Three state championships in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
You know,
they've won three in a row.
And you watch them. You watch their girls in other sports. They don't take a back seat to anybody. Mm-mm. I mean, and I'm not so sure it doesn't start with that softball program. And those girls just love to compete. And
if you've not seen fast pitch softball, that is fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. I'm telling you.
I mean, listen, that pitcher is pretty close to home plate.
She is.
And I can promise you, they can strike us out pretty quick.
And it doesn't always go straight.
No.
For some, they make those balls. They can make softballs now wiggle.
Oh.
I mean, it's up, down. It's like throwing a bowling ball. You can throw it right at them, and all of a sudden it's in the catcher's mitt right in the middle of the plate. That's just –
I remember one time I was coaching a girls' softball game. I just got put in it because our coach had taken another job, and I was just hanging in there until we got somebody else. I'm standing on first base, and I didn't pay attention to how much they chant out of the dugout.
Right.
Okay. I'm standing on first base, and I hear all this chanting going. I turn around. What are y'all be quiet. This is big, you know. They looked at me like I had nine heads. And coach, what we do.
That is why you're not the softball coach.
Needless to say, that didn't go well.
That's right.
Or basketball.
Or basketball.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's take a timeout, our final timeout. When we come back, Mark has got our Camp Grace segment.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Today we're going to talk about asking for help. And this is a little story. I'm going to read with it, and then we'll go from there. A father watched his son try to lift a heavy stone. He failed with each attempt. After some time, the father came by and asked, "Are you using all your strength?" "Yes," the boy cried. His father looked at him and said, No, you are not. I am here and waiting, and you haven't asked for my help." We all come across rocks in our life that won't budge. A helping hand goes a long way. All we have to do is ask. Unfortunately, the simple request is often as hard as moving the rock itself. Growing up, I always wanted to do everything myself. I thought I could handle everything myself. I was out to prove I could do it. I could succeed. I could make it on my own. I didn't need any help. I thought it was like a badge of honor of going things alone. Somehow the accomplishment should be worth more if you don't have to have help. I can see now in my older years as I look back how ridiculous I was. I also know what that's called. It's called ego. Ego just sits there and offers bad advice. It may say, Mark, if you ask for help, you'll look weak. If you ask for help, people will think you're not smart. If you ask for help, they might say no. If you ask for help, you'll be a burden. Once I was able to dropkick ego, the fear associated with these questions started going away. As the help flowed in, my life became a little easier, a little more fun, a lot more successful. Asking for help is a balance. If I run out and ask for it the second an obstacle comes along, I might miss a learning opportunity. If I continue to beat my head against the wall to solve a problem, I won't learn, but I will have a headache. To help find this balance, one thing that I started using was a 15-minute rule. I heard about it early on in my career. It's a simple concept. Work through a problem for 15 minutes. During that time, I'll give it everything I have. After 15 minutes, if I'm still struggling, I'm going to ask someone for help. The biggest problem I've had in my life for many, many years was the ability to simply ask others for help. I need help. I got to ask for help to overcome obstacles in my life. I'll do it today before the day's over. I'll ask somebody for help about a decision I have to make on something. I think it's important that we do that. I think it's important that I continue to do that because it does not show, to me, does not show strength to do everything on your own. There's some things you just make decisions and you do. You think you have the answer and you do it. That's part of life lessons and learning about how to handle things. But there are some times when you can't come to grips with an answer, then you need to ask for help and you need to listen to that help. And, you know, if people tell you, you know, sometimes you ask for help and they tell you something you don't want to hear. Still, maybe you needed to hear exactly what they had to say. So for me, in my life, in my, especially in my coaching life and in my personal life, asking for help has always been a big, big deal. And sometimes you ask for help from people to come do something that you're having trouble with. Let's take, for example, if your football team is not scoring points and you're struggling to get your point across, you're not being able to do whatever or teach what you want to teach, you may have to ask for help. Somebody show me how to do this. Or if you're the head coach, you may need to go out and hire somebody. As Coach Bryant always said, I'm always going to hire people that are smarter than I am. And when they come in, they can make things go better than you could if you just ask for help and step out of the way. And so today, as I was thinking about that, about a topic that the three of us were discussing a little bit last night, you know, asking for help in our personal life is a huge thing as well, about how we ask people to help us in times of trouble and in times of great success. How do I handle great success? Do I lose sight of who I am? Do I forget how I got there? Or do I ask for help to keep myself humble and in the right sight of who I'm supposed to be?
You know, Mark, we've done this for years and years and years. As coaches, we don't really start anything new. We don't come up with anything. We just copy other coaches.
True.
And when you go – like when you go to Montgomery every year, you don't go there to hobnob with people outside of coaching. You go there to hobnob, to communicate, to get ideas from other coaches. You probably do that as much as anybody I know. And what you do is you learn from those who teach what they teach. And then other people learn from you what you teach. And it's all about asking for help. That's what we do as coaches. You know, John Wooden is probably the most famous basketball coach in history, right? I mean, and doesn't everybody follow his pyramid? You hear coaches talking about it all the time. But we asked other coaches for help every day. But when it comes to our personal, just deep down in the core of who we are, we think we can handle it all by ourselves. And we're too embarrassed to share that, you know what? I got a problem.
I can't handle that. I don't know how to handle this situation.
Right.
How do I handle it? How many times have I called you in the last year and said, Rick, I need some help with something? I do it all the time. And I'm just – because there's no sense beating my head against the wall. Like I said, all I'm going to have is a headache.
Well
– but if I ask for help, I have a chance of alleviating a problem – very simply.
And you lay in bed at night wondering, how can I fix this? Well, you can fix it by calling somebody that can give you some great advice.
That's right.
And there's always people. Let me tell you, if I don't know how to cook a piece of fish, I'm going to call Matt Brandt.
That's right.
I mean, seriously.
He can cook a fish.
I mean, that's an example of where we are in life. And we should have learned it a long time ago, but we didn't. We did.
And it's as real as it is raising my children.
Absolutely.
How do I do this?
Absolutely.
Ask my dad,
yep.
When you had to go through this, what did you do? Or mom, how did y'all handle this part of raising us when we were kids? What did y'all think? How did y'all put this together? Because there's no book. There's no blueprint for any of it.
No.
But there are people that are there for us to help us if we'll just ask.
Boy, amen and amen and amen to that. Let me mention one last thing here. Rooted and Grounded has reopened up over in Mobile right next to UMS Wright. Rooted and Grounded is now open from Tuesday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. And let me tell you something. That place is just gone. I mean, it's amazing. The ministry that is involved in Rooted and Grounded. Carolyn Pilot Burdett has just done an amazing job, and we're so excited for what's going on at Rooted and Grounded. If you get a chance, go by and see them at Rooted and Grounded. It's at 2754 Dolphin Street, and you won't miss it. There's a big Rooted and Grounded sign there. You go by there any morning, there's going to be Bible studies. There's going to be ladies in there that are worshiping. They're going to be talking about they need help.
Right.
And that's where they go. They go to Rooted and Grounded and share with each other how to get out of situations, to fix situations that they're having with their personal life, their family life, their spiritual life. Man, I'm so excited for Carolyn Burdett and the folks at Rooted and Grounded.
I'll tell you what, it's been fun 2 hours today. It's great having Brent Daugherty on, Tim Becker, Shane Alexander. Great to have those guys on. And, hey, good luck to all of the basketball that's going on up in Birmingham. Good luck to all those teams today.
Don't be something special today at Legacy Arena in Birmingham. If you're in that area, you want to go out and see it.
It's an exciting place, man.
It really is. You get a chance to see Fairfield and Viger play. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you.